Jesus, we can just agree and decree and declare you reign above it all. Your kingdom come here. Your will be done amongst us. You receive whatever you're wanting to do, whatever you're wanting to say. We receive and I release it upon us all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Let's announce what God wants to do first. The gift of righteousness. He really wants us to receive it. And so he wants to share a little bit more of what righteousness is all about so that we can really receive and live in the reality of the gift of righteousness that we have. So that's what he wants to give to us, to be able to really enjoy that incredible gift that he has given through his son Jesus. So I want you to start off again, just so that we, following the journey. Remember when we started in John chapter 1 and concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so we are focusing on the fact that light, when we're speaking about light, light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and justice, truth. And so when we're looking at light, we see there that it's a manifestation of Christ's life. And that's going to be all the time our foundation on how to discern goodness, how to discern truth, how to discern righteousness, that which is right. All the time is going back to life. Can we experience life, the life of God? Okay, and so that's why the foundation is so important that we're busy looking at. If we take, for instance, the definition of goodness, every culture will have a different definition of what goodness is. Every business will have a definition. Every country will have a different definition. So one country could say, what's good for my country, I must go into Africa and deal with the blood diamond scenario. That's good for my country. But it's, you see, so that goodness is not their goodness. And so every form, every definition of goodness, every definition of what is right, every definition of what is truth is all controlled and captured by the self-centeredness, by sin. Okay, and that's not our definition. Remember, we are taken out of the dominion of darkness. We're in the kingdom. So our definition of goodness, our definition of what right is, what being right is, our definition of what truth is totally different, because God, it comes from God. And so we are learning to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of truth. He takes from Jesus and makes it known. So we are learning to not have our own definition, but to go into a relationship with truth, having a relationship with the righteous one, having a relationship with the good God who is good. And from that relationship, we are tasting, we are experiencing, and now we're starting to be able to live it out, because it's based on relationship, not on intellectual knowledge or definitions. And that's why God wants to really speak a lot about the gift of righteousness, so that we can live in the incredible freedom and the joy of being right with God through his son Jesus Christ. So that's what we are going to be looking at. Now, just, you know, Paul prays that prayer in, let me just quickly read that there in Ephesians chapter 3, when he speaks about the love of God and he's praying, and he says over here concerning the love of God, that God may give us the power to be able to grasp this, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep and high as the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, it's the same. How wide is God's goodness? How deep is God's goodness? How high is God's goodness? You see, how long is God's goodness? It's like with His mercy, His kindness, His justice, everything about God. That's why Paul prays that by the Holy Spirit we may begin to grasp it by revelational truth, so that we experience it, that we may grow up into the fullness of all of this. So that's our journey while we're on this planet Earth, okay? To really just grow all the time. That's why Peter writes, add to your faith, goodness, etc. Add, because it's that continuous growing, receiving truth that the Spirit of God gives, taking hold of that truth, letting it become a reality, established, living in it, and starting to see the fruit. And just as the same, because we love because God first loves us, exactly with His goodness, we are good because God is good. Okay, we're living a righteous life because God is righteous. And so all the time, it's all, He is the source of us all. And that's what we are busy. That's what makes us different. That's why our goodness is not just that goodness. When you're walking down, as this grows more and more, and I think all of you can share that, you can walk throughout in town. And now, because you know God's goodness always has life to it, it has truth to it, it has that which is right. When we walk through town, it's easy to discern there's a lot of good deeds taking place, but there's no life in it. You know it. See, that's the discerning now, you know. But He has life. People are doing good things. It's from the heart of mankind. But we have been taken out of that. We must now demonstrate the light. So it's a different kind of goodness. It brings life into the situation. And that's what we're seeking. That's what we are receiving from the Holy Spirit. That's the good works that have been ordained for us, for us to be involved with, so that the light shines. In other words, Christ's life is manifested through us as believers. Okay, and we're going to grow in this. That's why we grow in discernment. And one of the big areas why we battle in discernment is because we do not yet understand, or we have not really gone deeper into the gift of righteousness. And so that battles, we battle in discerning things. What has got God's approval, in other words, is what we want to look at today. So here in Ephesians chapter 3, we read about this, Ephesians chapter 5, sorry, and we read over here, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." And find out what pleases the Lord. You will see, maybe next week might get to that part over there. But when we understand what light is, we then know how to find out what pleases the Lord. Okay, that's why verse 9 is important. Just go a little bit deeper. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So last Sunday we looked at that the light has fruit, darkness has fruitless deeds. So there's a big difference between that which God regards as fruit and that which God regards as fruitless. So that's why a lot of the times we are looking and we are saying, "God, I measure that you are a good God because materially I'm blessed." And so we have our definition of God's goodness based on material things. God is good. Okay, that's not God's definition of goodness. So if something happens, all of a sudden God is not good. Because now, so what my goodness, because I've got a good job for the person living out there in poverty, they look at me and say, "But God you must be doing something right. God is blessing you. God is good. I must be doing something wrong because look at my life." See, it's a total wrong understanding of the gift of righteousness, of God's definition of goodness. Imagine if Jesus Imagine this, Jesus is now being arrested and he's being slapped and beaten up. Imagine if Jesus is saying, but Father, I thought you were good. Man, you're not a good God. You see, but we're speaking about a kingdom. We're speaking about eternal realities. And so our definition of goodness, our definition of truth, our definition of what is right is not earthly bound. It's not ground bound. It's kingdom realities. And that's where we live, because we are in a kingdom of light. And because we're in the kingdom of light, we living in the realm of light. We are children of light in the Lord. And so we begin to say, but God, you're always good. So Paul says, with all these things happening, all things work for the good for those who love him. Why can he say that? Even if he's in prison, even when you and I are going through difficult times, why can we say that? Because we are in a kingdom of light. Light consists of all goodness. And we're tasting, we're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, is love. So we're living in that realm. That's why the key is to live in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit and live from your Spirit outwards. When we're looking at that and we're living from that inwards, then God, good. No, God, you're not good. God, that's truth. No, no, that's not truth. I can fiddle with the truth, etc. And so we're having a look at God's definition. And the Holy Spirit can only guide us into this. Okay? He will not lie to us. He is truth. He is a Spirit of truth. That word truth, remember, it's a fact. So I might have my so-called fact based on my experience or my education or my culture, my history, etc., etc. But the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not fact. God is fact. And I will show you God in your situation so that you can experience God and not your fact, because your fact is deceived, it's self-centered, etc. So we have to grow. So when we understand the reality that I've died with Christ and have been raised with him, as I keep in step with the Spirit of God. Why? Because my old self has been crucified with Jesus. So no longer is my old self after all the passions of that old nature. No, it's now seeking the things of God. That's who we are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So now when we are in that realm and we're walking like that, growing in that step by step, we begin to be able to discern, God, you're good. Despite all of this, God, you are just. So what you are doing is the right. It's got your approval. So otherwise, we compromise because we want to be nice. And we will do things to compromise and to enable and to do all the stuff over there. But that's not God's, what is right in his eyes. And so we make all these laws in the body of Christ. We make all these laws about okay, now you can start living like this now because it's now the cultural norm. Or this, all this, that's not what we're about. Okay. Because we are children of light. Now, Paul writes here and he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And when we first started this, this was our starting point where it was that acceptance. I am in Christ Jesus. I am a child of light. I am light. And this is where many, many, many will battle to be able to receive the fact that I'm light in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask yourself in your own personal struggles, because we don't understand the gift of righteousness, we are stuck in our personal struggles. We are stuck in our past. We are stuck in our pain. We are stuck in our mindset. We are stuck in our behavior. You name it. You name it. You name it. Because we have not yet accepted truth and experienced the grace that reigns through righteousness. We'll get to that. You go in, if you want to use the word counseling or discipling, whatever word you want to use there, and you're dealing with believers, guarantee you they are stuck in that where they are for day and years and years and years and years because they have not yet understood the gift of righteousness. So the identity is still stuck in who they were as an old kind of in Adam. The gift of righteousness takes us out of Adam and into Christ. It's a whole new identity. And not many believers accept that. It's strange. They still accept that they're Adam. They still accept that this is my past and oh, this and this and this and this and this and this. Guys, light is full of life. And that is why we've got to begin to, maybe we must take notes. Maybe we need to start in your own personal journey. Lord, give me a way so that I can help others. Show me what righteousness is really all about so that I can help many people to be able to receive the gift of righteousness. Many of the believers that you and I minister to on a daily basis, they are stuck in that reality of performance. They're stuck in that reality, I'm not good enough. How can God accept me? How can God love me? I'm not good enough. Stuck in that reality. Hey, the gospel is good news. And so we want to begin to experience what Paul is writing over here. So we see over here, for we were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Live as children of light. If we do not accept the fact, Lord, and in your Son I'm light, we will not live it out because we live what we believe. So if I believe that I'm dark, I will live and I will feed that darkness. If I live that, Lord, a gift, you've given me a gift in your Son Jesus. You've taken me out of that darkness, out of the old Adam. You placed me into your Son Jesus. Wow, I'm light. That's our identity. That's our true identity. Everything that is not rooted in that identity of being in Christ, in having the approval of God over our lives, we will battle with many, many issues in life. We will battle with insecurities, we battle with fear, we battle with maybes, have I done enough, etc. We battle with addictions, we battle with all these kind of things because we are not yet established in the fact of God's righteousness and how to live in the reality of righteousness. Children of light, live as light. See, it's a lifestyle of living in the goodness of God. It's a lifestyle of living in the righteousness of God. It's a lifestyle of living in the truth of God. Okay, so, you ready to go a bit deeper? Because this town needs light to shine and expose the darkness and the secrets of the darkness. So, hopefully that we can spend time, and if you battle over here, we go and ask Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to be able to accept the fact that I was once darkness, but that's not who I am anymore. I am now light in Jesus Christ. That's who I am. I'm light in Jesus Christ. Okay. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And as we looked at last week over here, that word again in all means basically that you want to speak about light. You cannot remove goodness, you cannot remove righteousness, and you cannot remove truth. Each individual makes a total sum of what light is all about. Okay, so that's how we discern. When we walk and we see and we experience, we can discern. Do we see all three in that, then we know he has light shining. If we don't discern those things taking place, then we know there's something wrong. Okay. So today I can preach to you right now, and I'll preach to you only truth, but not righteousness, not goodness. And that's going to become very legalistic. You see, because absent is missing the life. And that's how legalism works. Okay, just in case you wanted to know. So we have an amazing story. So Romans chapter 1. We've been through this before, but God wants us to receive. As we are going into the reality of being children of light. If we don't believe we light, we won't live light, as I keep on saying. We will always, in the back of our mind, think, I'm not good enough. I'm too bad. It's not your identity. The child of God, that's not our identity. When we were still in Adam, the old man, that was our identity. We're in Christ. Okay. So in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes here concerning, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Remember, the gospel is the good news of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, Jesus Christ. So this gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the good news. When we look at the reality of truth, remember, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So it appears to be truth. And so we get caught up. That appearance of truth, does it? Can you experience life in it? Can you experience what is right in the ways of God? And can you experience the truth that comes from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit? Okay? And so he captures the minds of people because he appears as truth. So how do you know? The moment any teaching, no matter how fancy and who it's from, any teaching from that has been preached or taught from spiritual people, the moment we start to find ourselves being deviating from our pure devotion to Jesus and what he has done and who he is and our life is in him, you know that's counterfeit. There's a lot of stuff that goes around that bypasses Jesus. All experience. All the time. Okay? So be aware of these things. Anything that's pulling you away from being centered in Jesus, knowing who he is, having a relationship with him and getting a revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus and that devotion to him, trying to get you away from that, you know, switch off. Why are you all leaving? So here in Romans chapter 1, so here's the good news. It's all about Jesus Christ. And then Paul in verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Okay? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And one of the things about being ashamed of the gospel, often we think like in the workplace we're going to just duck and dive and we're just going to, I'm too shy to share the gospel. That's not what Paul is writing about here. See, Paul is dealing in a religious environment where the law is a way of righteousness. Paul is coming and he says, guys, I'm not ashamed to tell you that there's a gift of righteousness that comes from God in Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that because I know that's to be true. So he's bold and he's telling them all the people or the religious people are wanting to sort of intimidate him and to persecute him and you name it over there because no, the way is the law. And he's saying, no, I'm not ashamed of telling you what this is all about. It's Jesus Christ. And so he says over there, for those who believe, it's the power of God. So again, that's why believing, faith is so, so important. So when we are fully persuaded that God is good and the news about his son is good, it's truth, it's righteous, when we are fully persuaded, in that fully persuasion, we now experience the power of God. That's why when we receive, I'm fully persuaded, I've been declared righteous, I now receive the power of God to live righteous. not the other way. I'm trying to live righteous. No, first be fully persuaded that God has declared you righteous through His Son Jesus. And then you'll find the power of God. Grace reigns through righteousness. And now we start to find the incredible breakthroughs taking place in our lives. And we need to disciple folk in this area. Because many believers are trying to change their lives. Many believers are trying to be righteous and with all the good works, all this kind of stuff over there, because they're the definition of what goodness is and the definition of what is right in the eyes of God and the definition of what truth is about their lives. Okay. They must go into Jesus. They must teach them how to get a journey with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can guide them into all truth, not denying, not contradicting the Word of God. The written word of God, yeah. So we've got here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles, because it first came to the Jews and then it went to the Gentiles. Now look at verse 14. For in this good news of God, okay, our good Father, our heavenly Father, our righteousness from God is revealed. So it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. That which is hidden. So amongst all the people, the law was over there and the righteousness was by keeping the law. It was hidden. But just at the right time, Christ comes. See, that which was hidden, now the Holy Spirit reveals it. That's what it's speaking about here. So that which was hidden to us before we got born again, there was a time when the Holy Spirit revealed to us. But God is a righteousness that you and I can receive. That's part of the good news of God. Okay? Not based on your performance, on your past, etc. It's what Jesus has already done for you. You can receive what He has done. You're receiving His righteousness. So he goes on and he says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And that's where we spoke a lot also on Wednesday night, this reality of faith. So when we're speaking about righteousness, there's two aspects to it. Here, this righteousness that we're speaking right now is, in a sense, God being the judge. So it's a court matter, it's a legal matter. And so now the judge gives a verdict. He examines the case, he examines the facts, and then he gives a verdict. And the righteousness here is, as he examined the facts, the verdict is, you meet up with my requirements of the law. Okay? That's the normal way we're speaking about the normal. Okay? So now we have this reality that now you have the approval of the law. What you're not guilty, you're innocent there, and you've met the standards, you've met the requirements of the law of the land, etc. So it's a righteous judgment. It's declared you are right in the eyes of the law. Now we come to God, and God looks at mankind, and He gives a verdict. And He says there in Romans chapter 3, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are still all under the sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, all have together become worthless, and there is no one who does good, not even one. Okay? Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips. This sounds like today's humanity. No difference. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they did not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So we see this, and then he goes on there, that we all held accountable to God. Therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But that's not the end of God's sentence. He then continues, says that's the facts. That's the facts. But let me tell you the true fact in all of this, the good news fact, that now there is someone that is now righteous. that I have sent my son Jesus Christ. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. Okay, again, the righteousness from God has been revealed in this gospel. The gospel is his son Jesus. So our righteousness has been revealed in and through his son Jesus Christ. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. And God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because of his forbearance. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So we're starting to see there that God's verdict is a bit different. The facts are we've all sinned. The facts are that we've messed up. That's the facts. But now, he says, but now let me continue with my verdict. The verdict is this, but now there's a gift of righteousness that you can able to receive. Because none of you are seeking me, none of you have a heart after me. My son Jesus Christ came in form of a man who lived a righteous life. Who, when he was baptized, what did the Father say to Jesus? This is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased. So we see Jesus is living a life that is fully acceptable by his Father. The Mount of Transfiguration. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You see? Listen to him. So all of a sudden we're starting to see the reality now that here is Jesus who lived a life that had God's approval. We are in Adam. We hear the good news. By faith we have received Jesus. What's taken place? We have received the righteousness of Jesus. So when God spoke to Abraham, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So when Abraham believed, remember the word credited? It's not only in the banking field over there, but the word credited refers to the mind, the way we think. So as God looks, and we who believe by faith, God says, and this is where God thinks, how he thinks it's who he is. You are now righteous. Faith, by faith, God's righteousness has been transferred into our account. So we are now declared righteous. Not many people believe that. If we keep on thinking about our past and we keep on thinking about how bad we are, if we keep on thinking about this stuff, we have not yet received the righteousness of Jesus. Lord, I simply believed. That's all. There was nothing more that I could do. You declared me guilty. You declared me not righteous. That was the facts. But now this gift, Father, in your son Jesus, it's this gift of being right in your sight. It's a gift that Jesus lived a life perfectly without sin, perfectly and fulfilling all the requirements of the law, perfectly living a life that had your approval. His life I receive. Now that is placed into your and my account, our life account. That's the gift that we have received. That frees us from our performance. That frees us from, am I good enough? That frees us that every time I mess up, maybe this afternoon I'm going to lose my temper or I'm going to, whatever the case may be, it frees me totally from all that guilt and condemnation. Because now from God's standing in his mind, in his thoughts, the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father and my Father's thought says righteous. So now the Holy Spirit speaks to me righteousness, not guilty. And are able to live in the reality of no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those in the darkness don't know this. We are in the light, and so we can now live a life experiencing what Christ has done for you and I. So everything, that's why in Him we live and move and have our being. Everything now in Christ Jesus, we live, we move, we have our being in the reality that we are right in the sight of God. So I'm fully accepted. You and I are fully accepted. We are fully loved by our Father. Fully, fully, fully. So as the Father said to His Son, I love you. I delight in you. Exactly you and I, because we are in Him. I love you. I delight in you. It's a gift. We need to spend time, Holy Spirit, open this up, because I need to be fully persuaded that you have declared me not guilty. When we get closer to the end of our lifespan, are we going to be fully persuaded? Or are we going to fear death? This righteousness is full of life. It's His life. We have received His life. So the righteous one lives in us. Why could God only pour His Spirit into mankind once Christ was raised from the dead? The Spirit of God could not come and dwell in unrighteousness. He could come and dwell in Christ. Christ is the righteous one within us. We are in Him. Because we're in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's a gift. It's grace. So in the practical ways, every single week, you probably hear it at workplace as well, but it's something that hear all the time. Oh, my parents don't love me. They don't know righteousness. Oh, my husband doesn't love me. My wife doesn't love me. They don't know righteousness. They're not living in the truth of being the beloved in Christ Jesus. Oh, are they going to reject me? They don't know righteousness because the identity is performance and not being fully accepted by God, our identity. As being children of light. So it's very practical. One of the things Paul prays in Philippians 1, as he prays that we may be able to discern. He prays that we may be able to discern the ways of God. That word discern is an incredible word because it speaks about the truth. We're able to see how it works out practically in our life by the Holy Spirit. And as you and I receive God, this gift that comes in Jesus, His righteousness is in my account. That's pretty awesome. Now the journey is by the Spirit of God to learn how to walk in that truth. That's the incredible journey now. That's the excitement and the discovery of just how awesome and liberating is this truth as we go forwards. So it's no longer, because my goodness, as I said in Adam, is always about what is right and what is wrong. Never about what is life. So I would say, no, I won't be good to that person because they deserve that, because of that over there. See, it's human goodness based on right and wrong. See, that's not justification. Because in Christ now, all of a sudden, it's a total different ballgame. Because now I say, okay, Lord Jesus, what is right in what has God's approval in all of this action? That's now the guiding line. What has God's approval? In other words, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, it's no longer I'm walking in my own willpower, but now I'm led by the Holy Spirit and I'm keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. That's just another way of seeing these things. The Spirit of righteousness dwells within us. And we start to learn to live like that. So if we are battling, guys, as we conclude, if we are battling to live a life that we know has God's approval, and we're living in guilt and condemnation and blame, blah, 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 receive the gift of righteousness so that the grace of God reigns through this gift of righteousness, and we start to experience the law of the Spirit of life, because light consists of, flows out of life. So now we're experiencing the life of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus the Father within us, and there's the victory. Now we are not fulfilling the passions of the old Adam anymore, but now we are enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Good news. All because we simply believed. And this is what our Father has credited to our account. The gift of righteousness. Amen. Let's pray then. Jesus, when we just ponder a bit on your life on this earth, and you lived a life that we could never have lived, but your love for us, your love for the Father, the more we grasp this, the more we begin to experience that amazing scripture that we hear so often, Father, for you so loved the world that you gave your Son Jesus Christ to us, that whoever believes has eternal life. We cannot have eternal life if we are unrighteous. We can only have eternal life because only the righteous are raised from the dead. And that's why we've received your righteousness, Lord. We're in you. So we are light in you, Jesus, and that's why we have eternal life. And that's why we are raised from the dead. That's why we are seated with you even now in the heavenly realms, because of the gift of righteousness. So Lord Jesus, these things we need you to help us to get an understanding. So we need Holy Spirit to take from you your righteousness and make it known to us, to unveil the things that are blocking this, so it becomes real and we are fully persuaded that we are righteous. Lord, I'm asking as we partake in the communion with you, Jesus, that today will be the day where we will truly accept, oh, who I was is no longer who I am. I was darkness, now I'm light. Lord, we need to be established in that truth so that we believe it. We are fully persuaded that we are light. We are in a kingdom of light. Lord, there's the power working within us that brings about the inward transformation, that brings about the reality of us being able to live as children of light, to be able to live a righteous lifestyle, to be able to live a life in truth. And we want to thank you. So we know today, Father, this is a big part, a big deal today, this gift, Father, that you are giving to us, just to be able to, by faith, receive what you have shared concerning the gospel, your good news to us. Father, by your Holy Spirit, let grace flow into our minds so that we can be delivered from performance, because we lived in this world that's all performance orientated, to be accepted and to be approved by and so forth. But Lord, in you, Jesus, we are fully accepted. We are the beloved. And we want to thank you. So we eat with you, Lord. We celebrate in the heavenly realms with the joy and with all the angels and all the saints celebrating this incredible gift of righteousness. I don't know if you can see the celebration, all the joy because of Jesus, the righteous one, and how we have received that gift and we have been declared righteous. So we can boldly enter the throne room of God. Boldly, boldly, not being ashamed. Yes, and if we do slip up, the blood of Jesus, because we are having fellowship with the light, the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses us from all sin. That's the process of experiencing the journey of the righteousness of God reigning through grace into our lives, so we are learning to live in truth, in righteousness. And we thank you that our behavior matches the truth, the gift. So today we thank you for this, Father. Holy Spirit, where would we be without you? Where would we be without your work in us? What a joy to just receive your work, your ministry, your life. This new law that operates within us, the law of life in Christ Jesus. What a joy that keeps us free from the law of sin and death. And we value you. So as we eat with you, incredible Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we eat with the angels, as we eat with the saints, as we eat with the cloud of witnesses, we just want to say thank you, Father. We eat in freedom today, receiving the gift that comes from you, your Son Jesus Christ, and that righteousness. Lord, I say it again, and I ask now as I say it, Holy Spirit, that this will just penetrate deep within each and one of us. The faith that God has given to us, faith comes from hearing, the faith that God has now released into us, and you are fully persuaded about the righteousness of Jesus, as you believe his righteousness has now been transferred into your account. It now belongs to you and I. So I thank you, Father, that this will be rooted and established now in our, not only in our spirit, because it knows it, but in our soul and in our mind. And this we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.